From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them, the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Left these words at the end of the passage: whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. On the one hand, we listen, we hear the words. Do we really act on them? This word "hear" in Hebrew, as I mentioned before, means obey. So whoever has ears to hear ought to obey, ought to put into practice. Today Jesus explains the parable that we pondered on Saturday, the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Remember what that parable's about. So often we can focus on the growth of the weeds. Jesus wants us to prioritize the growth of the wheat. The weeds can't stop the growth of the wheat. Now, there's a real chance that when given a chance to grow, what seems to be weeds will actually turn out, by the miracle of miracles, to be very fruitful wheat, as we've seen in the lives of so many converts. Today, Jesus, in his interpretation, adds something as he describes what the elements of the parable are. When we have received his word on good soil, when we begin to bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold, Jesus then wants to take us and sow us. He intends not just to sow his word. He intends not just to sow himself as the grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying. He intends to sow us as that word takes fruitful flesh within us. The good seed, he says, are the children of the kingdom. That's the wheat. But he also says there's another type of affiliation at work. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. That there are two principles of fraternity, you could say. There are two principal foundations from which we draw our life. Those who draw their life from God, seeking the things of God, and those who ultimately draw their categories from the evil one, from worldly pleasures, from what the devil wants to suggest. And the devil will suggest anything that prevents us from treating God as our absolute. So there is this battle going on out there. It's a battle in which God constantly is working. Jesus entered into the world to transform what initially seems to be weeds into wheat. So there's always hope that everyone we encounter can turn out to be the righteous, shining like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Today in the first reading, we see the lament of Jeremiah. It's a second lament in his book. It's about the huge famine and the kidnapping of the priests and prophets that was preceding the exile. And he was weeping. We know these words from the breviary. The great destruction that overwhelms the virgin daughter of my people, her incurable wound. In the fields you see those slain, in the city those dying of hunger. Priests and prophets are foraging in lands they don't know. And then he starts to ask God questions. He then, on behalf of the people, confesses their sins. Then he says something quite powerful. For your name's sake, spurn us not. Don't disgrace the throne of your glory. Don't break your covenant with us. It's to you alone, O God, we look. He recognized on behalf of the people the deep need of conversion and was turning to the Lord of mercy. He recognized that many were behaving as children of the evil one, not as true children of God. He was asking for God's help, for the glory of his name, that he is a faithful God, that he loves, that he forgives. And we know that God would hear that prayer. And that's why Jesus himself came. Jesus is the one who not only gives glory to his Father's name, but teaches us assembly to hallow it. These lessons today are taught very powerfully in the life of St. Ignatius and the church marks. St. Ignatius, early in his life, seemed to be a weed, pursuing vigorously earthly vanity, especially on the battlefield. But providentially had his left leg blown up by a cannonball. He was so valiant on the field that the enemies called a ceasefire so that he could be removed from the field. And they allowed him to be transported to his own castle to convalesce. It's there over several months of convalescence after having read all the books possible on knight errantry, La Chanson du Roland and all these other classics. He asked what else there was in the castle, and all they had was a life of Christ and some books on the lives of the saints written in Castilian. So he asked for the lives of the saints so that he wouldn't really have to ponder the life of Christ. But as he started to see the heroism in these saints, he asked a question that everyone should ask. I think it's the most important question one could ask. Why can't I do what Francis of Assisi has done? Why can't I do what Dominic of Guzman has done? He recognized that with God's grace, he too was capable of great sanctity. He too was capable of being really fruitful wheat. To convert for him wasn't easy. It required, as Jesus would say elsewhere, that we need to convert and become like little children. So after a retreat in the cave of Manresa for 9 months, in which he began to be taught very deeply by the Lord how to pray, he resolved that the Lord was calling him to be a priest, but he needed schooling in order to be capable of it. So he literally went back to second grade, sitting at the desks of 8-year-olds to be able to learn the rudiments of grammar, particularly Latin. It was very humbling for him. But eventually, he gets all the way to the University of Paris, where his roommates, Francis Xavier and Peter Favre, it was there that he recruited them not only to do the spiritual exercises with him, but to become the company of Jesus, dedicating themselves in a specific way to what the Holy Father himself was asking. In his spiritual exercises, part of his time there in the cave, he recognized that his life was meant to give glory to the name of the Lord. And with his valor, he didn't want to just give glory. He wanted to give the greatest glory possible. Hence the motto of the Jesuits, Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam. which was echoed in today's opening prayer, that he was called to give greater glory to God's name. He wanted to maximize his love of the Lord. But he also, in his spiritual exercises, taught us a huge principle. And one of the meditations he gives us is on the two standards, the two banners, he said, that we're all supposed to see ourselves in a big battlefield. It's not the most feminine of images, but it's true. On one side, you've got the banner of Christ, and the other side, you've got the banner of Satan. And we have to choose in life. It's a choice. Are we going to be weeds or wheat? Are we going to be bad fish or good fish? As we'll hear in Thursday's Gospel, in the 8th of the Parables of the Kingdom, in this 13th chapter. St. Ignatius' whole life, the Jesuits were formed in order to be able not only to help us to choose the standard of Christ in all our activities, but also how to be a good and loyal soldier in Christ's church militant, how to fight the good fight so as to win, and to train others to fight just as successfully. Why can't we do what Ignatius of Loyola has done? Ignatius, relatively late in life, the age of 30, he only lived to be 65. Turned everything around, and he willed sanctity in the little things, becoming small, small as mustard seed, we could say, as we'll hear tomorrow, as we heard yesterday. And the faith began to grow, so that in his life, he did give great glory to the Lord's name. For the glory of the Lord's name, the Lord will deliver us from sin. But it's our choice whether we respond to his mercy so that one day we might share Ignatius' friendship and rejoice that we too have been able to provide the Lord the glory his name deserves.